So can we start, Brian? But if you could just tell me your full name and your date of birth.
Yeah, it's Brian Jeffrey Cousins, and I was born on the 18th of August, 1947.
Okay. And so you were born on the Lower High Street itself?
Yeah, I was born... It's 341 High Street now, but in those days it was 191 High Street. The numbers changed in 56, 57, something like that. But I was born upstairs in the back of the shop.
Okay, and there was your family owned a business?
Yeah, they ran a business. They didn't own the property, but they ran the business from there. It was my grandfather at the time. I've got his name now. Harold Joseph Cousins.
Okay.
And then my dad took it over after him.
And the business was?
Shoe repairs mainly, but they sold lots of leather goods, and they used to supply leather to other smaller shoe repairers throughout the Cotswolds.
Okay.
And people used to come and buy leather, come down from, you know, store on the road, places like that, buy half a bend of leather and take it home, stuff like that.
And so, given that your family, your extended family, ran this business, would you say your family was comfortable, well off?
Yeah, fairly. Not well off, but comfortable. I can remember Bert, who used to work for us, Bert Russell, who lived down St Paul's, he worked for us, and I remember him telling me that he said he was always grateful to the grandfather for keeping him on over the Depression in the 30s. We all must have had quite a decent business. And my grandpa, because my dad, when my dad was old enough, my dad used to drive my grand's car in the evenings.
Okay.
And I think that was something to own a car in those days.
Yeah, yeah. So what was the name of the business?
Cousins.
It was called Cousins?
Yeah.
All right, okay. And that's still going today, isn't it?
My younger brother runs... business called Cousins of Cheltenham in Montpellier now.
Okay.
Yeah. With his wife.
So, and what are your memories of from your childhood of living in that area? What do you remember?
It was quite a close community down there when I was a child. I knew everybody around, and they obviously knew us. I used to do errands for Mrs. Pritchard, who was the widow of a hairdresser and lived a few doors down. I used to deliver papers for the paper shop opposite, Gray's, the paper shop. But I knew the Mudways. I went to school with one of the Mudways from the down
the
by the road.
Right?
No, the Mudways. Tent hire and removals, that sort of thing.
Oh, right, okay.
Graham used to run the business after his father, but that was down towards the railway bridge.
Okay.
But I knew the Idleses, and I obviously knew the Stanleys because I married one of the daughters. but everybody, you know, in those days, obviously, there's no supermarkets. If you wanted a loaf of bread, you went across the road to Gardner's. If you wanted pound of sausages, went back to the butchers, either the one opposite or one down the road,
right,
and that sort of thing. And everybody knew me, and everybody knew each other.
Right, okay. And we've been told about the fact that there was, I mean, you had, like you said, you had everything you needed.
Yeah,
around,
oh yeah.
Greengrocers, butchers.
Yeah, there was four greengrocers, the Dimmers, Davis's, Stanley's, who I just said on Murray, mm-hmm. one of those. There was some other I can't remember offhand. Butchers, there was Cyril Collins at the time, later with councils, Stafford's, there was the pork butcher down the road, there was Cherry Tats just up the high street next to the bakery. Bakeries. The Laundrette, I can remember that used to be a competitor of ours, Hewlin's, shoe repairers, and we helped him move out because when they moved out and the Laundrette took over, we had some of the machinery off them. There used to be another shoe repairer just a few doors up next to Nealon's, which was the wool shop and toy shop.
Right, okay. So that the Hewlins, was
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
So they, even though they were a competitor, there was no.
Oh no, no.
Animosity.
They were good friends.
Right.
Yeah, and the other guy, the Hinch, that was it. Hinches. He often used to come in and got me 2.5 inch rubber heels. I've run out, sort of thing. You know, that sort of thing. Okay. But my grandfather and dad used to supply a lot of other people. In some of the machinery my dad had, other smaller shoe repairers throughout the town didn't have, and they used to put them all in a sack and bring them to our dad.
Right.
And it, you know, it was he used to do the stitching for them and things like that. It's unfortunate. I have seen the photograph, but I don't know where it's gone. But there's a photograph of Bert, who used to work for us, my grandfather and great grandfather, with a pile of army boots that high on our back lawn.
Wow.
From the, must have been the First World War. They also used to make leather straps and that in those days for the early part of the century for the biplanes, because all the wings, it looks like a string, but they were tied together with leather belts. Mm. And my grandfather used to, well, their business used to make a lot of these.
So your childhood then, you remember, the first thing you remembered was that it was quite a nice community?
Yeah, well, I think partly what helped, if that's the right word, was my mother died when I was young.
Okay.
And everybody gathered round us, sort of thing. Because everybody knew each other, they knew what had happened. And,
they helped out?
Sort of, yeah.
Well, they were there when you needed them.
Yeah. But I can remember Mrs. Pritchard, who I mentioned earlier, lived a few doors away. Of course, when I was younger, see, rationing was still on, and there was a lot of a lot of scarcity of lots of things. I can remember Mrs. Pritchard making me an overcoat out of somebody's jacket, you know, an adult jacket and things like that. You know, it's funny, I can't remember the people's names now.
Well, yeah.
But,
so it's a long time.
Some of the people later became friends, like Arthur Idles from Idles Fishmongers. He was what I would class good friend, you know, years later, although the age difference, you know. But in the 60s, things started to change and people slowly disappeared, you know.
Why do you think that was?
Well, more money. There was a lot more money around.
People moved out of the area?
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah. People started to move out. Well, before that, my grandpissy used to live over the shop. But before the war, he bought one of the brand new houses down Yarra Road, and then later moved to Brooklyn Road, and all that was brand new then. And it had already started. Of course, the war came along and put everything on hold for not just 5 years, but more like 15 years.
Yeah.
But by the time the 60s come along, things were picking up again, and people
moved out to bigger houses, gardens, driveways.
Yeah. And I didn't see it, but by the end of the 60s, I think, that is when the high streets, the lower high streets, went into decline.
Right.
And it was partly because of the loss of community and different things took over, you know. You don't even recognise that if you've seen it now, compared to what it was when I was a teenager in the 60s.
So for instance, you said that before you came here, you walked down the high street. Do you go down there very often?
No, not a lot, no.
What did you think when you walked past?
Well, our particular shop is disgraceful.
Run down.
It's awful, the front, but you see, it's all private dwellings now. I would be interested to see it all again. Strangely enough, I was on some property website a year or two ago, and I seen a place and I thought, I recognise that building. And it was what we used to call in the family, the warehouse. It was an old brick building at the top of the garden has been made into a small cottage, and it was up for sale. And I emailed it, the picture of it, to my brother in Exeter, and I said, guess where that is? And he emailed me back straight away. He said, that's the old warehouse rebuilt, and it worked.
Yeah.
You know, but I'd love to see what it's like. But a bit of the history I can tell you of our building. I mentioned earlier when I was renovating the lounge above the shop, I took the old cast iron fireplace out, and the postcard dropped out of Mrs. Rock from Mrs. Robinson's. But a lot of the plaster, the brickwork and plaster, fell down in the chimney breast, and I investigated more, and there was a gap behind the chimney breast that I could put my hand through into, and I thought, well, this chimney breast is an afterthought. And on further investigation, I pulled some more plaster back, and I could see a wooden frame. It was built in, over a doorway. There was a doorway through to next door, because I could see some the plaster, and it's all daub and wattle, some of this plaster. Put a bradawl through, and I could see the people in the office upstairs next door. The wall was only 4 inches thick, and it was just part of the timber frame building. And I spoke to my dad about it, and he says, oh yes, at the top of our stairs was a big arched doorway with stained glass. He said when he was a child, it was a stained glass doorway that was blocked up.
And
it was part of, it was apparently, it was the living quarters, our building was the living quarters of next door, which was a hospital.
Right, okay.
And it's where the aerial people are now.
That's right.
But that used to be a hospital many years ago.
God, that must have been way back.
So my dad says. And where our place was a the living quarters for the nurses.
Mm.
But the back end of our house, our shop, I think was later than the front. The front is all timber frame.
Okay.
I've been up in the loft, there's beams like that, just holding
really
it together. But every time, they stopped it now, but when I was a kid, huge lorries used to go straight up through Cheltenham from the gasworks end, straight up to Chalk Kings.
Right.
And if you had a big heavy lorry go by, all the windows in the building would rattle, because the whole place used to kind of rock. But, it's part, I think, the front part of the shop is part of the original High Street.
Right. I wanted to ask you a bit more about what you said about when you were growing up, and there was a nice sense of community.
Yeah.
Everyone knew each other.
Yeah.
What do you remember? I mean, one of the interesting things about the area is that even now it has the reputation for being one of the poorer parts of town.
Yeah.
And back then it did as well, didn't it?
Yeah.
So what do you remember about what the people in the area lived like? I mean, was it as that poor from what you remember?
Well, we considered, because of the business, we had a car even when I was a little kid. We had a car, and it was still quite something then.
Mm.
And you didn't consider yourself you were better than the rest, but we appreciated the advantage. But we did live sort of hand to mouth. My father used to run the thrift club in the Royal Oak Office. He started that just after when he got demobbed after the war. And at its peak, he had 350 plus members of all the local people. He used to go in the pub, give them their half a crown a week or whatever it was in those days. And our dad used to dread it, actually, his children, because him and an uncle who worked at Charlie Gloucester Film Society, they used to have to sort, he was a trustee, he used to have to sort out all the money. And it used to take him a week, and, you know, we'd all have to be quiet, because they'd be counting money all the time. But without that, people's Christmases wouldn't have existed, like, you know, because of the savings. But it was a lot of...
So what was the club called?
It was the Royal Oak Thrift Club.
The Thrift Club?
Yeah.
And so all the locals used to yeah. put their savings into it.
Yeah, for Christmas. Yeah, it's the Christmas club or thrift club, and they used to have like little raffles and that to build it up, and they used to, any dividend would be shared out equally. Like if you put £5 a week in and I put £1 a week in, we both get the same dividend.
Right.
The idea was with the better off would help the less well off. But without those kind of things in those days, I don't think people would have had any money, because it was always hand to mouth, you know. Even I can remember a friend of mine lived further down. We were apprentices together. And he said, well, I've got to get on to get with my wage packet, otherwise we won't have any tea. And it was still like that, you know, you sort of... there's no credit, of course. You know, you walk in Sainsbury's with a credit card. The main one that used to supply us for groceries was... there was one just next to Mrs. Pritchard for a while, but they closed down, and Biscoe's TV people took over. But the one would have been Greens, Mason and Greens, as it later became. And you never had tick or anything like that. It was always cash. So, our main Christmas presents used to be our school uniform. You know, that would be a main... Well, you might have one good toy, but everything else was... And you were glad to get it. You know, yeah.
And one of the things that the other people we've spoken to have talked about a lot is the fact that kids played outside all the time.
Oh, yeah. Well, we didn't play outside in the high street because it was too dodgy, but we had a large back garden. And other people used to come because they used to be the butchers across the road. They had three kids. They used to come over and play. In the Royal Oak, they had two kids. They used to come over to us and play in the back garden. Used to be some of young people at Normal Terrace, as it's called, in Beckinsale Valley to us, but it was Normal Terrace.
Right.
They used to play in our garden and that sort of thing. Plus, when I was a first... earliest memories I can remember, the big yard at the back, I think it's Ebley Tires at the bottom on the Swindon Road, just over there.
Yeah.
Well, that used to be Hinton's. It was a green wholesaler for vegetables, and they used to go from there straight through into the high street. But we used to roam around there in yards and everything, hide in the sheds, you know. And, it was a lot different, and there was no health and safety.
No.
Yeah.
You said that playing obviously on the high street was dodgy. Is that because of the traffic?
Yeah, you wouldn't do that. Yeah, but having said that, I was still quite young when they say we'll go across to Bloodworth, as it was called, down to the bakery or up down to the butchers. Never anybody see you across the road, you know. You wouldn't play in the high street. Yeah.
So, you know, you said that you didn't really have to leave the area very much.
No.
Do you remember what the other parts of Cheltenham were like, or leaving the lower high street and, I don't know, seeing the promenade for the first time, for instance?
Well, we didn't go up the prom a lot when I was little, because... you had everything you wanted in the high street, because you go up to Woolworths, which is where, well, I expect you know, where Woolworths used to be.
Yeah.
And on the corner where Primark is now, that was Ward's. And you would always do Woolworths if you wanted something cheaper. Ward's was interesting, and the other one was Candish House, but that's all I remember, really.
Okay. So what, do you remember what it... I mean, because from what I've heard from other people that lived in the area like you, you said you didn't really go to that part of Cheltenham Moss because the people were very different and they never came to...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I can remember my father telling me that you weren't allowed to go up the prom unless you had your best Sunday best then.
Right.
And that was a fact. It wasn't a rumour. even when I was an apprentice gas fitter in the 60s.
That was still the case.
Well, it wasn't the case, but there was a lot of people still thought it was, and used to go to their houses and knock on the door. What are you knocking on the front door for? You go around the back, tradesmen go around the back. You know, you can walk through the front of their house. You know, there's a lot of people like that in Cheltenham. And it was, what was the saying they said about Cheltenham? Poor, proud and pretty.
Right.
Was like aerosol in it. And that was somebody's description of not the rich Cheltenhamians, our side of it.
But there were two very different sides of the town then, weren't there?
Yeah. Well, my gran lived down in St Paul's, just down in Larkin Place. She was in service when she was younger, until the First World War broke out, and then she worked in the munitions factory, which she was very proud of. But she knew her place. You know, she was very, I don't know what they call them, chambermaid or something like that. I can remember my gran in a way looking up to my dad's side. That was my mother's mother. Sorry, looking up to my dad's side of the family, but they're doing well because he's in business.
Right.
And having said that, it's just an aside, that's how I got into Dunalley Street School. Because my dad was in business, otherwise I'd have gone to St Paul's School.
Right.
So they were very, you know, they say about people moving house and that nowadays to get into a school, but even into infants and junior schools, that still happened in my day.
Right, okay.
And
so you went to the school based on the standing of your family, right?
Dunalley could pick and choose who they had.
Right.
If you didn't make it, you went to St Paul's.
Right.
But because my father was in business and the family was in business, it helped.
It got you in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Didn't do me any good.
Did you ever feel like being from that area, or people from that area, had any disadvantages in things like finding work, or did they get looked down on? Or
no, well, I never felt that. And again, I think it's partly because if you grew up around the Lower High Street, a lot of the side streets, like. I just walked up King Street and it's changed a bit, but that was really poor. But because we lived in the high street and had a shop, we had a business, you see, and we were sort of, and the name was known in the town to a certain extent, so we had that little advantage.
Okay.
We weren't really any better off because the conditions in our shop were awful. They hadn't changed since my dad was born. When I grew up, we didn't have a bathroom until I was 15.
Yeah.
You know, and, well, like a lot of people, though, we didn't have a fridge until I was 15, but most people didn't then. But I had, at school, my contemporaries at school lived in council property, at least they had a bathroom, you know. And yet, because we were in business, there was a kind of slightly unsaid, I don't know, unsaid snobbery. I didn't think it at the time, but looking back, I suppose there was.
Okay. Because some of the other people we've spoken to have said that how they would be careful who they told where they were from.
Yeah.
In case, you know, that might stop them getting a job, you know, because they're from that part of town.
Yeah, well, some of it was quite poor, right? You know, we were no different, as I said, but it never stopped me getting a job or anything, but I don't know. I was kind of known, you know, I started work on British Gas, and my father knew people on there. He was friends with people, but not that it was him that got me the job, but I didn't have that problem.
So one of the other things that the area has a reputation for is that perhaps it's, particularly now, you get the impression that people that don't go there very often think it's a bit dodgy, it's a bit dangerous.
It could be because my wife could tell you, she used to live opposite the Shakespeare, And you get the gypsies. Well, there was often fights at the Shakespeare, but because we were just up a little bit.
Got it, and you're not even that far, really.
No, it's only 100 yards.
Yeah.
But there were more fights the further you got. But you often see fights outside. I can remember seeing them outside the bar of the Royal Oak, you know, sometimes. But it was never that bad. And the the worst place you could go to was further up the high street, actually, the Five Oars. That was the worst place in town.
Really?
I don't know what it's called now. It's just off the churchyard.
Oh, okay. Is that the, what's the Two Pigs now?
Two Pigs, yeah. That was the Five Oars. I think it was the, no, it wasn't. I got the name wrong. But I can't think of the name. But that pub was really rough.
Right. But there were a lot more pubs back then, weren't there?
Oh, my giddy aunt. I was saying to somebody the other day, when I finished my apprenticeship, so it was the late 60s, and I missed the train over to Gloucester to go to night school. The, well, it's part of this now.
Right. Odie Oxford's College.
The one in Brunswick Road. Right. I missed the train, and my mate says, come on, let's have a drink in the Lansdowne. Across the road, and we walked up to the Royal Oak, but we had a drink in every pub from down the Gloucester Road and up the Lower Oyster. By the time we got to the Royal Oak, we could barely stand. There was a pub on every street corner, and I tried to name them all the other day, and I can't, but there was an awful lot of pubs, and even up the side streets there were pubs. You know, there's one up King Street, one up Merton Street. Yeah.
I've even heard stories that on King Street, for instance, there was one at either end and one in the middle.
There was one in the middle and one on the far end. I can't remember one this end, because it used to be on the corner of King Street. You had what was the Caledonian, which was just across the road.
Yeah.
And that was a lot of Irish went in there. They were sympathetic to the IRA in the 60s or 70s.
Right.
But the Caledonian, I can't think of the one halfway down. But on the corner, both corners of the high street end, was Hamlin's, the cycle shop, on one corner, and Old Acres, the agricultural feed merchant, on the other corner.
Right.
So they wouldn't have had there. But there was, they might be getting mixed up with what was the King's Head, just down from the Royal Oak.
So do you think, I mean, a lot of people from other parts of Cheltenham didn't come into that area very much.
No, they wouldn't need to. No.
From what I hear, they wouldn't want to either. Is that right?
It was always regarded as the poor end of town, and therefore they wouldn't go. But we always regarded the lower high street from what they called Foster's Corner, the corner of St George's Street down. Now it's classed as from Highmark down.
Yeah.
But the lower high street was always kind of from there.
Did people ever refer to it as Lower Dockham?
Lower Dockham, yeah.
Your area?
Yeah, Lower Dockham.
Because this has been a matter of some debate, you see, because some former residents say, that area from what they call Dick's Corner as
Dix's
well?
Dix's Corner, yeah.
Dix's Corner. From there to the bridge, past it, was Lower Dockham.
Yeah.
But some people say Lower Dockham is the area starting at the gasworks.
Yeah, I think that's the official tone, but we were always often called it Lower Dockham.
Okay.
Yeah. You say Dix's Corner. On St George's Street, going up the high street, the first one you come to is Foster's Corner, and the other side of St George's Street would have been Dix's Corner.
Right.
It was quite a big shop.
Yeah.
When I was a kid.
So you don't ever remember the area being particularly dangerous?
Not really dangerous, no.
Like you said, there were some punch-ups, drunk, or...
You'd always be careful, a bit wary, like Grove Street was always dodgy, because they were out in the house. Grove Street was quite dodgy. You never looked twice at the people coming out of the Shakespeare, like.
Right.
Having said that, tape's going, but...
It's okay, don't...
I won't say that.
No, go on, don't worry, we don't...
No, I haven't said that. Years later, I went out with two... There was the landlord had two daughters there, and I went out with both of them. Years later.
Well, we won't put that in the exhibition. But, okay, because, you know, this is one of the things that we're trying to challenge in the work that we're doing, that, the area has always been perhaps the poorer end of town, but that doesn't necessarily mean it was the most dangerous.
It wasn't dangerous, no. And I think during my day, I didn't realise it at the time, and when I was old enough to realise it, it was pulled down, but the alleyways off the lower, further down by where my wife grew up, the alleyways there were proper slums going back to where it was in the 20s, apparently. Mm. But they were, a lot of them were derelict, and of course it's pulled down now anyway. Mm. The post office, sorting office was built, there, some of it was. But there was, you wouldn't say it was dangerous, but it was, it did attract them. If people come into the town, you get gypsies come and they use the pubs down on our high street. That's causing a lot of the fights. Mm. And a lot of Irish would come over, congregate more in the lower high street, pubs and that. But basically, you see a few drunks and that. But having said that, the landlords were a lot different to where they are now. I'll bet anybody under the age of 35 had never been told you've had enough to drink at the time you went home. Because if you've got money in your pocket, you can stay until we've got every penny off you. But in my day, you've had enough, out.
They were a bit more strict.
Oh, yeah. I think it boils down to an old law of keeping on around the public houses, But, of course, the pubs weren't open as much either, but people used to try and get as much down there as they could. But having said that, we used to get a lot of the Irish, particularly, would be over here. I knew a lot of them. They would be over here. They had nothing else to do or entertain themselves when they're not working.
So what? Well, these obviously were here for work. So labourers and did you work with many?
Well, we used to have them when I worked for British Gas. They do dig in the trenches, put the mains in, and that sort of thing. And a lot of them were Irish people, but they settled over here. Mm-hmm. In fact, my wife's half Irish, and my mother-in-law came over here with her brothers after the war and looking for work. A lot of them went to Coventry, obviously, to rebuild it in the Midlands, but some drifted down the coast.
Same as my grandparents were from Ireland. It was in Northampton, so not far from that. So when you think back now, so having grown up in that area, how do you feel about it? Do you miss it? Are you nostalgic? Or what do you think?
I used to, and I used to think of my older brother, who lives in Exeter now, moved there 12, 15 years ago, and he's a lot more sentimental than I am, and I thought, how can you, and he just cut himself off. But I was walking down the Honeybourne line one day, and I stopped on the railway bridge and paused, and I was just looking up the Lower High Street, and I thought, we could be stood on the moon now, looking at it, because it's nothing like it was. There was only two people. There's only one person now, and that's the son, and Ron Minot's tool shop. I can remember his father started up, Ken Minot.
Right, that's right. And his other son owns the guitar shop.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I don't know him so well, but I know Ron, but I knew Ken quite well, and I remember when he started up there. Ron's the only one I know down there, and Idle was probably one of the last old businesses to close down. Of course, Arthur's died as well, so that will never resign.
So you say it's changed a lot. Does that make you feel sad that it's changed so much, or?
I'm just aware of progress, I suppose, and things changing, but I walk up there and I'm amazed at the number of fast food shops. That's one of the things that amazes me about it, how they actually survive so many, so close together.
A lot of it has to do with this lot.
Yes, I think I forgot that. But, it's just life. You know, things change. I can remember when I was younger, because my grandparents lived in Brooklyn Road, I always wanted to live there. And now I could. I chose to live at Prestwick. Because it's not the same. Time has moved on.
So, perhaps I can ask you one last question. What do you... I mean, it's a bit of a strange question, but why do you think that the history or the lives, the experiences of people who lived in that area matter? Do you think it's important for people from other parts of the town to know about it?
Because a lot of people, if they, you know, if you were a visitor to Cheltenham and you wanted to find out about Cheltenham, all you're going to do is find out about the spa and the retired colonels coming to live here and all that, which even in, I can remember parts of Cheltenham being like that. But there's the people that made Cheltenham run, if you know what I mean. I worked as a gas fitter, and so I know a lot of people in the building industry, not the big names, but the people who do the menial work. My grandmother, who was a scullery maid, or I don't know what she'd be called, but people like that made it work. It's this untold stories in a way. My grandmother was in service around Suffolk Square in the big houses, and some of the stories she used to tell me, but she, I bet the people that lived there didn't even know her name, probably, or, and things like that. And she used to be making the fires in the bedrooms and things like that. And there is, and down our end of town, there was, maybe they were serving just the locals a lot, but my father's business, shoe repairing, he used to repair shoes for Melvilles. The two Melvilles, I think they were brothers, but there's two high class shoe shops, one in the Strand, one in the Prom. Shires and Lances, which was one of the big shops, these two shoe repairs for Cambridge House. Any of these wealthy people used to go into these shops. It'd be my dad repairing their shoes without them knowing it. He used to repair all the shoes for the Ladies' College, the Gentlemen's College, Dean Close.
The private schools.
All the posh private schools. And little did they know that little old Bertie used to live down St Paul's there, and our dad, be the ones that were hammering away, doing their work. And that's what made Cheltenham tick, and people like that. You know, not just my dad.
But as you say, a lot of people don't know about that. They just see the Regency side, the spa.
And the people with all the
money.
Opulence.
Okay, well, thanks very much. We'll stop it there.